Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony right back with you after a handicapper's report. And this is the betters version of Racing Across America. Before we get going too much, I got to give hi to my niece, Fiona, who came in. My sister and brother-in-law and Fiona came in from Denver. Came in hot last night, about 12:30. And so when you come in from Denver at 12:30,
you get to turn off the lights at the airport.
You don't go to sleep at 12:30 when you came in from Denver at 12:30. So it was a late night for me and an early morning, but good to see them and they're watching. So
how long has your sister been out in Denver?
I think it's been 10 or 12 years now.
Wow.
So cool city out there. I've had a lot of fun. So it's also the 55th anniversary of Revolver.
So
might be a trivia question.
The greatest
album ever, most significant album ever. Go listen to it. Like literally, go right now. I'll let you go off the set if you want. If you haven't heard it,
my sister's own.
All right,
the vinyl version.
So we got through a good handicapper's report. 10 on tap today. The featured Birdstone, and as you know, in this space, Anthony and I on Thursdays, some triples, some race replays, some pick five talk. We're going to get to all of it. Also, at the end, you know, we've been showing some of these great pieces that Seth and Mick and Brian have taped throughout the course of the meet. And today is a really cool one. I alluded to the new and improved state-of-the-art Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And I went, I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago now, and Brian Bouye and the group and the staff over there, if you have not gone to the completely renovated, redesigned, state-of-the-art, digital, touchscreen, all of that Hall of Fame. Like, just go do it ASAP. It's open every day. What they did over there is phenomenal. It's revolutionary. They completely redesigned it. And Seth and the group went over... And yesterday, I believe, so great job by Mick and Brian turning this thing around. Seth and those guys went over and taped a piece over there and got some footage. They have an awesome, like, 15-minute intro video. I don't want to give it away. Just make sure you watch it at the end today because, like I said, I was blown away when I went over there and checked out the Hall of Fame. And I knew last year Brian had sent some press releases out and things like that. Brian Bouye does a great job over there. And so, you know, we're renovating and it's open to the media. And I didn't get over there. So I didn't know what to expect. Man, I went over there and I was like, wow.
So they did a great job.
You want
to know when
job.
You're getting old? Well, this is the second renovation
Pray
of Hall
tell.
Of Fame I can remember.
Well, you said you haven't been there in like 30 years, right?
Yes. Yes. Two things, not that it matters. One thing that they used to do that was great that they should resume doing was, in the morning, you used to, and I'm sure it's to the same degree the same, he came over, he had breakfast, he had to leave the track. Breakfast ended and the track didn't reopen until those days, 11:30.
Well, isn't that how it is now?
I'm sure it is. That's what I'm saying. So the clocks have changed, but I'm guessing now you have to probably leave the grounds by 10 for breakfast people and then you come back at 11. Well, in the old days, at about 10:30 in the morning at the Hall of Fame, they would have a program on a great horse.
That's pretty cool.
And when you came to the track, say, on Wednesday, at about the fifth race, it would say, tomorrow at the Hall of Fame, Dr. Fager.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
It was beyond great. And now it's, I presume, easier in the production world.
Sure.
My point is... the Hall of Fame and horse racing at Saratoga, promoting the sport at the highest level, and I always thought that was great. I always thought that people in this type of position, older people like me, you talk about Ruffian, and I go to bring young Anthony over there, and I can't see all of her great races. It always struck me as, how did we get here? But the fact that they couldn't put somebody with a great narration, Tom Durkin or anybody, and do these 40-minute clips... And I mean, forget the top 100 thoroughbreds. The last 50 of them have been in the last 40 to 50 years, and a great showing of it. And, you know, it's just beautiful. I mean, that's what I always thought. But I can remember as a teenager even preteens, where I couldn't wait to open up the program to see what horse was going to be sure. the next day.
They also have a really cool, a whole like wing dedicated to women in racing. And I believe that kind of runs through the meet. So you have time, but it's really cool. You know, we think of obviously Maggie Wolfendale that's here and Gabby Gaudette, Kate and Bradar, but you know, a lot of the Charsley Canty who really kind of like started that ball rolling. And there's, but they also have prominent owners and jockeys obviously and things like that. So check that out. And we're going to show that at the end here. Seth and the guys did a great job with that, but we kick it off here.
Hold on. You will not feel old because I don't think this will resonate to you in the here and the then. But today is the 25th anniversary of Woody Stevens' last win at Saratoga.
Really? So that would be
5 years ago.
1996?
Yes.
See, I feel like I would remember that. And I don't remember like seeing him.
He was
in the program, and I was full degenerate by that point.
But here's a couple things. The Woodman last grade one, this was the 88 Travers with 49er.
Okay.
His last graded stakes victory, I believe, was Yonder, winning the 89 Remsen. So Woody really was, you know, quieting down, ratcheting down the career. But 25 years ago, I think Robbie Davis was aboard, but 25 years ago. And my point being, for somebody, if you're in your late 50s or something, Woody Stevens was, you know, the 70s and then obviously the 80s, and he got on the roll in the Belmont and 49er, et cetera. And you know, and I also should know, I know I said, you know, 49 is the last grade one, but all of us recognize, talking about the Graded Stakes Committee, that 49er, later in the year, won the inaugural running of the Naira Mile, which was ungraded, but was clearly a grade one race. That was during the jockey strike, and I think Willie Fox might have ridden 49er to victory. It was at Aqueduct, the one he beat Mossoff and Precisionist.
Well,
but 25 years ago today, Woody Stevens' last victory at the track.
One is going to mistake Queen Tiga for 49er.
They're not going to mistake her for too many runners. That you're going to,
but
a New York State bred maiden claimer 25, usually.
If she pays $14 today, she'll pay a lot more than 49er ever did in the prominence of his career. $16, $18 maybe. So you've got three replays queued up here. She's the first. Now, this is race two, second race of the early pick five. First race to kick off the early pick four. Right. Heavy favorite on the morning line with Danny Deepcuts, who we both were dead set against on the handicappers report. We're going to queue, no pun intended, we're going to queue up Queen Tiga here.
And
we're looking at the race two back.
Right. Two back.
At Belmont.
This is number nine in the turquoise silk. Now, first thing I want to let you know is there's not anything to see in the way of trouble. This isn't like a trouble line, but this is a 50-1
which
shot.
Which is okay. Right.
And that's you're going to be looking at. So there I am in the turquoise on the outside.
And not every race replay has to be a bad trip. And I think that's good to note, too.
It's what you're basically seeing is, so I'm coming off just a fresh thing. I would say that 3 months and a week is probably a fresh thing. We've had discussions about this a lot. So now I'm 50-1. Obviously, you can see the nine. I'm on the outside, three wide. Like I said, this isn't about trouble. This is just about the overall effort. Moving on the turn like she's 5-1, not 52-1. And what you're supposed to expect here, Brian, I say this often when you're watching races, not that you have to guess and get it right, but you have to be thinking, well, this has to be the best part of the race for the horse. The horse gave me a little something.
And this race fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, so you're like, okay. And now I'm working hard to think, well, this can't end. The last 3/16 of a mile can't be that great, but you'd be mistaken. And as I said, she's going to make the front. And I don't think this is lead caught. That's fine. I'm not here to pick apart that. But it's not. It's different, though. She's still running. She just gets outrun. See, I would have said, instead of lead caught, I would have just said outrun. Because lead caught, to me, makes it sound like, and not that this really matters to people, her run out is strong, too. It's not like, oh, my goodness, that's all I got in the tank. Forget that. She gave and gave and gave. She moved on the turn. Many horses at Belmont move well on the turn. It's not as big an athletic move as it can be at other racetracks. I should say this.
The balcony move.
I love horses who and it's less important at Belmont because it's more successful at Belmont. So it indicates to me it's not as difficult an achievement. But a lot of places, Saratoga including, I love horses that can athletically move into contention onto the turn. You think about Victory Gallop and his Whitney 20 some odd years ago. But Queen Tika to me in that performance, and I can't tell you why after that race they went to a 6 furlong turn, but that doesn't matter to me. This was a race that I don't like the favorite, who's a big favorite. And I saw a horse at 50-1 who's 8-1 on the morning line give me all I could want today. I'm just saying, she repeats that performance, I'm happy to take my chances against the 7-5 shot.
Absolutely.
I mean, to me, I like so many things about it. Sharp, moved on the turn, never stopped running. I think just got outrun to the line, kept running to the line. And as I said, I know run out is not a big thing most times, the vast majority of times, but she wasn't spent at the end of it. And quite frankly, I'd like to see another run here. As you said, she's not 5-2. She's
right.
8-1. There are naturally questions.
And she'll get hidden off that muddled turf
yes.
race as
and the
well.
Other thing also is, and I've said this before, you mentioned earlier on Handicap Report, Jeremiah Engelhart right next door has a first-time starter. And I've said how these horses who are the most veteran in these maiden-claiming races often get overlooked because you're like, well, how long are you getting stuck in the condition?
Right.
So I'm going to get all my price. And I liked her effort two races back. The last race is almost immaterial to me.
Oh, I agree with that.
And
totally.
I'm like, I'm happy to go forward. I have a firster who's 5-2, and I have a second-time starter who earned a fig 2 points higher than my horse earned a buyer in that race at 7-5. That's how I want to play the game. I mean, that's how I want to play the game. And we're going to go through the replays first, and then we'll get to the
yeah.
the ticket.
So the second
so
one.
So that was Queen Tika for,
yeah.
for me.
The second one, that was short on the dirt. We go long now on the turf, kind of long, a two-turn race. This is race four today, but we're going to bring up a replay of number four today, Montatham, 12-1 on the morning line. This is the June 20th race. He is down inside at Belmont, the one horse. Let's check Russo, that one out.
Which will be easy to follow from the rail. Now, this was the second start off of a 14-month layoff, and the first start was pretty good. I mean, pretty good.
Sure.
So now I actually break well. The two lost the break. You see the rails are up, and this is John Velasquez, who's scheduled to have the mount again. To me right there, those are the subtle things in racing, Brian. He lost position. He
sure.
got
you can see it right there.
Just snookered a little bit. So what does that mean? Got to use some energy. Now, the one thing I thought was good was he got off the rail with that, but he had to use energy to get the position that he probably wanted to fall into.
All along.
And now he obviously isn't getting the six to run forward, and that's got to be Gallagher Studs with those silks to move on because he doesn't want to be on the pace. He wants that target to shoot at. He probably wants him to go faster, but he's lost position, used some energy early. Second race off of a layoff where I expect the majority of the time to see a little bit of muscle regression, but that's not the case here. This horse just puts in a very big effort, and I should note the comeback race was a merry-go-round race, so I thought the fourth was very good.
Top three finishers all came back to win,
the way. I was talking about this. A, that rarely happens in this sport, but how about Claimer 40,000?
Yeah.
All come back to win. But now he gets to the outside. I thought at 3-1, this is a starter allowance, same level here, going a mile. We're down inside. We have good early speed. And Jess gets tired and doesn't finish it up. Heck, this horse only had a sprint race. And he doesn't finish fourth here, folks. Horse comes up the rail, got the good run. But the subtleties, particularly in turf racing, and it'll be very important here going a mile.
Well, going a true two turns today,
yeah,
too.
Where he just kind of got snookered, came around. Well, the coming around part was probably good, but he had to use energy. You could almost see him go, boom, and then go like, okay, a little bit of the accelerator to get up where I wanted to go. This will be the third start off of the more than year layoff. I like it. And as I said, sometimes when the morning line comes out, I'm like, drats. And other times at 12-1, I'm like, I'm here to win it. I'm like, I'm right there. I have a double-digit odds horse who I think is highly competitive here. And I'm hoping with the two inside horses, he's going to get a chance to relax on the backside and sit.
Certainly bar 14 will be in front.
Yes. Like the kind of in front that the Gallagher stud horse wasn't, where he'd be like, okay, I can relax my horse. I can't catch the leader.
Right.
I'm good. He was having to restrain him the last time to not get up on the lead too early. So I'm getting a race scenario that I think is going to be very comfortable.
All right, we'll take a look at one more.
One more. This
it's the finale.
Today
we're
going
to look at Mondeuse, who's the three, but on the rail today. But we're going to look at Belmont's 6-10 race, the 10th race, the last race for Mondeuse on your PPs.
Right.
When she was beaten a nose. Let's take a look at that one. First time stretching out that day.
Now, here's the thing for me that rarely happens, or when I handicap, I think it's really going to happen. I'm almost hoping for something similar in here, and we are, let's see, where am I here?
She's the three, I believe. Right?
She is the, I think, four in this race. The race we're looking at,
yeah, she's down inside. You're right.
On the front on.
Yep.
Well, as I looked over this race, and maybe you don't agree, Brian, but where's the speed in this race?
And she's being nagged by a 73-1 right now on the engine.
I looked at this race, and I was like, because this, I think this could happen.
Yeah.
What you're seeing unfold here in even a more attractive way, in that I don't get a 70-1 shot, push me along. I didn't see much early get up at
she is
all
the controlling
in
speed
here. I'm at Saratoga versus Belmont. I'm on the inner, a mile 16th. I'm hoping it firms up a little bit, but she is just jogging around here. Now she's the favorite under Jose Ortiz, who's scheduled to have the mount back in here. And I thought, you know, beating favorites, usually I want to beat, but she is just cantering around. And my thought is, Brian, this is going to happen again, that she is going to have a chance to put in a similar type performance. I just need a better finish. And the other thing you mentioned at the mile race, this is a complete full two-turn race. I have the controlling speed. And you might think, you know, he's made a mistake. One thing I will say about probably the future Hall of Famer, Jose Ortiz, one thing about when you have controlling speed, and I used to love this about Corey Nakatani, is separate yourself.
Yeah, I agree totally. Don't
keep the kickers in the race. To me, he took the pressure early from a rank outsider. He got the pause in the middle of the race. But sometimes I think, rather than the pause, I'd rather you drag them.
Try to gut the field entering the far turn.
Out.
Third place finisher, listen, came back to win, by the way.
He's going to the Hall of Fame if he stays healthy.
All right, let's take the break now. And then when we come back, Anthony's going to put those replays into his tries. Talk about them. Three tries coming up. First break here on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Handy Racing Across America. See, it's like
Listen, we're kind of the same thing,
and that's not a bad thing here. The Gambler's edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you. And we, before we went to break, Anthony doped out three replays on today's card, and now he's going to take those three replays and basically put them into play, really. And this is your game. You already hit earlier. The first one, I think we did. Yeah, what did you give out? A 458 try for 50 cents, I believe. Yeah, he's going to try to do it again here. I'll just throw it to you. You're going to put Queen Tigua, in race two into play.
But I also want to talk about, like, some things. Like, this is, like, the game part. Like, we're considerably ahead. They're you know, in this row, they're not going to catch us. Last week, we got rained out. My point is, the bankroll is in a particular spot that's very envious. Like, I am very happy, and it allows you to play the game. Like, for me, I'm very mechanical about where I want to get as a goal, how I want to get there, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get there, so it allows me to play the game a little bit differently. Now, I don't go crazy. I don't, like, just completely leave the path, but for the first race, for example, that I'm going to talk about, my usual bet is the pyramid, usually a 1 by 3, by 5, or 7, or 8. Third place doesn't matter very much because I think practically all horses can run third in a given race. But what the ticket for race two indicates to me, there are two horses, the one we showed you, Queen Tigua, that is my most preferred, but Captivating Cara is also 8-1 here. And because of my position with the bankroll, I'm kind of shooting for the moon here.
So here it is on the left, 3-4, 3-4, all.
I'm going to key just these two horses. I mean, I could play a different ticket if I wanted to really, you know, and make far more horses in the second slot. But I want these two horses on top because of my bankroll. Last week's bets got wiped out with the thing, so the bankroll's bigger than I would want it at this stage. I know that sounds dumb, but I'm going to get a little loose, not fast and loose. So I want to key these two horses. And what allows this type of bet for me, Brian, is that I'm such a non-believer in number 8, Danny Deep Cuts at 7-5. And in a trifecta, unlike where horizontals are, if he wins, I lose, I'm okay. In 28 minutes, I'm going to be up to bat. He's not going to ruin, he can't ruin my afternoon. He can only ruin one race. I'm looking to beat what I think is a bad favorite. Now, maybe I should spread more in the second spot, keeping the 3 and 4. And that's certainly fine thinking, and maybe on another ticket.
You can also invert those spots.
Right. You know, I mean, I could do so many things, but what I'm trying to show you is I'm against the chalk. I like two horses that are 8-1, almost equally. I'm going to play them. And by not spreading in the second, in the place leg, it keeps the cost of the ticket down. And I'm looking to beat what I think is a favorite that's beatable, that maybe wins at 480. But to me, that's the type of bet based on where my bankroll is, where we are in the meet, and I want to take a big shot and hopefully have 2 8-1 shots run first and second, and then anybody other than the 8 run third. And people have talked to me and said, well, why don't you buy a couple extra tickets with the 8s? And I go, mathematically, I'm okay with that, but it's just not how I play the game. I'm trying to... He wins. It's almost kind of like I'm taking the money, but it's not where I want to be. But that's
now race four is a great one because if you saw the handicappers report, there are 10 horses in this race. In the we had nine of
we
them.
We have nine
of different
the 10.
Ones,
and we're so now completely sure Bob Placeres is down the road with
The nine, right? So Anthony's got a pair of tries in this race. And if you look at this race, it is a trifecta race. There are 10 horses, a very tepid 3-1 morning line favorite, turn of events. You've got two of them.
I have two tickets here. Now, once again, and I know you concur because there's no gambler I've ever heard doesn't. Your bankroll is the most, you know, besides the health of your wife and son, it's like, it means everything. It allows you to spread your wings or pare it down, which is, you know, tough. So the one on the left for race four is my classic ticket where Montatum is the key to this whole race. But you can see I have an opinion, not really much of an opinion, but we'll get to the second ticket. So the 1-3-5, so the 3 and the 5 were my second picks, and the 1 for Christophe Mont was the horse I added. That's my usual ticket. The second ticket is because we're in a good spot with the bankroll. And that is, I have 5 horses, and I'm pairing them off to run only second and third. I've only left a couple horses off, but I want to take another shot. As I looked at this race, it was wide open. I had no idea who my friend and partner had chosen, but that's where I wanted to be. That second ticket is purely a function of a healthy bankroll and trying to grab this meat by the throat. I have it by the tail, but I'm trying to reach out and grab it by the throat, and that's what the second ticket is.
And that's
is.
When you're supposed to do it. When your bankroll is healthy and you can take your shots. You don't want to be chasing and taking your shots. You want to have a healthy bankroll and then try to maximize that. So one more for the break. Then we go to the 10th. This is the Mondeuse race, the finale today. We showed that replay when she did all the dirty work on the engine, came up a nose short. And as you were talking, I was looking over the replay, and you're right. She is the controlling speed with an aggressive gate rider here. They will have to run her down on a much more traditional two-turn turf race.
Right, and I think
so let's take a look at it.
You know, it's rare in the sport that you think the same thing's going to happen and you hope with a better outcome. Now, here are the key for me this race is, and I think, you know, I didn't have, and probably because of post position, probably because of the way the race is going to fall, Saigon, who is the 10 horse here, who is 20-1, is actually the key horse in my betting thought here. I just thought, and with a healthy bankroll, will I put the 10 on top and a small one? I very well may. We'll see how race four goes. But to me, I thought Mondeuse has a real edge in this race. And it should be pointed out that 2 and the 10 are right next door to each other on the outside. But the good thing is I see this as
come out of the same race, too, by
the way. They're going to get the position, a better position. They're not going to be 5 wide on the first turn because they don't need to be because they don't have the early speed. There's not much speed here. So I'm thinking if they take back, it makes it easy for the 3. Listen, if the 10 had drawn better, I might have upped the ratings. But to me, the 3 is probably on the course of the day the horse I like most. And I'm really hoping an absolute wide open exact if you want. I have a 12-1 and a 20-1 in second. And clearly after that part of handicapping, it's the all button. You don't get any smarter.
And you don't want to get cute in that spot.
Cute is the other word from smart. You've done all the good handicapping you need to do. And I said this before, and for me, this drives the engine. I am no way supposed to be rewarded if I haven't handicapped the race correctly. And if I've done a very good job in handicapping, I'm supposed to be rewarded. If Saigon runs much better than her odds, I'm supposed to get something.
If this comes in 3-2 or 3-10, you cannot miss this try.
And
I don't mean that because you use the all button.
No.
I'm not saying that like master of the obvious. My point is, if you are that right, let's just say there's no ticket on the board right here. But if you're thinking 3-2 or 3-10, you can't miss this try. You have to hit it because you should never play this game again.
And that's why
you use the all
ball. More important than handicapping. And listen, the idea is, the price dictates for the first and second place horses that you don't have to get any smarter. You don't have the trifecta is not coming back $84.
You have to hit that try if it comes in that way. Second break here on Racing Across America. When we come back, I'm going to show the grid for the late pick five. And it's a good discussion, too, because I think it's the less is more pick five. Stay tuned.
Turf, 14 of them across the track. Heels set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's warned.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern, the grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern, the grey, looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you. This is going to be our last live segment, but make sure you stick around. Seth Merrill did that take piece at the Hall of Fame yesterday.
Seth just doesn't want to give up Racing Across America. Man, he tries to get in when
hardest working guy in racing.
We
love him.
James Brown look like a slacker.
He's the captain here and the hardest working guy in racing. And he went over there yesterday. And I believe it's about 13 minutes, and they got some great footage. Brian and Mick did a great job on this. And as I mentioned, they revolutionized the Hall of Fame. Get over there and check it out. If you haven't already, you're going to watch this piece. You're probably going to run over there today. It's awesome. So, like I said, one more live one here, though. And Anthony went replays and tries, which that's his jam. And I'm going to talk late pick five here, and we've been doing this grid thing on this Thursday edition of Racing Across America. You know, I had had more than one person come up to me at the paddock bar and say they really liked the segment, and which, you know, we always like to hear that. But especially for this one, because I think it does hit home for me. I think this is really the way to play these segments, these sequences, excuse me. You want this ABC structure. More bang for your buck. I'd like to think you've enjoyed it too, because it's
absolutely
not your jam.
Absolutely. It intrigues me greatly.
Yes. So this is a good one today too, because you and I, before the meet started in our pre-production meeting that we had for this show, listen, they're laughing in my ear on that.
700 miles apart. I'm on the family vacation. We're like, so how do you want to break up the hour? What are we going to do?
I think every crew member at OTB was just, well, I've got a headache now, laughing in my ear on that. So we talked about this, and you said, well, I want to hit this for $12,000 twice, not 520 times. And listen, that's fine. But there are days when you just have to take the 0-2 outside fastball and slap it to right field. And today, I think, is that day. The take what they give you, don't look for something that's not there. So, with that being
you
said...
You realize yesterday's late pick five was like, all my glory. They go, that's it!
And that's fine.
Eureka!
And it looked like that.
Yes.
But today, let's put the grid up, Ry.
Let's see what
and take a look at it. Because I don't think
we
today...
We did not talk about this before.
...is that day. And the other beauty about this sequence is it's
no
got my
C's.
It's got my other angle where I think we're going to have a 3-5 in leg one, and as you can see here, and I didn't fabricate this for good TV. This is the grid today, okay? And as you can see, this is your old they're off I lose angle. If
yes.
The five does not win the opening leg of this late pick five,
they're
off, I lose.
Yes, you're at the pool.
Okay, find me at the Paddock Bar. You have to buy me a beer, though, because I won't be able to pay for it. But it's that type of sequence. So then I go 4x3x2x4, and that's simple math. It's $48 for 50 cents, okay? And I think this is A, sequence you can hit more than one time, but B, I think there is a cinch in the opening leg, no time alone, for Wesley Ward. I think she's going to be a strong, heavy favorite, and I'm not going to try to beat her. I'm not going to spend money to try to beat her, and I'm going to maximize the fact that she is an odds-on favorite at the start of the sequence. If this was race 10, okay, it's another great, I'll call it a lesson, another great club to put in your bag. If no time alone, if the sixth race was swapped out for the 10th race, no time alone would be a lead pipe cinch single on any budget ticket, okay? Because it's the last race. Even if it was in the middle, she'd be a strong single. The fact that she is the first race of the late pick five, it's a mental roadblock for the better. They don't like to single in the first race. And so people are going to use other courses here that don't have the winning chance that they're going to accredit them. Because
I think that thinking is 180 degrees wrong. I would never
absolutely.
Single, I would never single the last race. And I would always want to single six. Why? It tells me what the rest of my day is.
Absolutely. But if you pulled 100 people that were playing this pick five, okay, and you said, let me see your ticket, and they go five, let's just say they go, I'm just throwing a number out here. Let's say they go 5-8 in race six. I'm going to say, well, why didn't you single the five? And the knee jerk in a millisecond reaction that he or she would tell you, well, it's the first leg. I don't want to be out after one race. And it's completely irrelevant.
Say you have $48 invested.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose $48. And you take the angle where they're going to the reverse. They're going to single the last one. I'm not playing it the way apparently these 100 people would. But if I get to the last leg and I have four horses covered, right? And I know what the probable pays are. I have options.
Yes. Right. You can wheel
these
off
are
of that.
Options.
Absolutely.
People have this is not the way to play it.
Right. So let's look at these other four races quickly.
Wow.
And like I said, the other thing is I did not suss this out, but this is like you could also do one of those super A angles where your strongest opinion in 7, 8, and 10, if you really, really, really like someone, you could try to hit this 4 or 5 times on like a $8 base play. I've got 2, 7, 9, 10 in race 7. The logicals, there's some prices in there too,
yes,
but they obviously are the logicals. 1, 2, 5. Now, quick return in the 8th race, so I do have on top is 8-1 on the morning line. That could be the value one. The beauty of the Birdstone, okay? Lone Rock will probably be even money that David has on the morning line. I do agree with that morning line. He will probably be a single on a lot of tickets. But I'm dutching him and Moretti. I do think, Moretti, your top pick, has a big chance today. And I think a lot of people will get skinny and single in the Birdstone. I want to use them both
now, see,
equally.
To me, that wouldn't make, like, to me, if I thought I had two horses, and even money in either two, if I thought they were going to cover the race 80 to 90% of the time, I'm not getting cute there.
No, that's why I did it that way, because I think you get added value.
I'm not that smart.
I think you get added value in this sequence by using Moretti, because Lone Rock will be a strong single on a lot of budget tickets. Again, because those budget tickets aren't going to single in the first leg. So they'll say, well, listen, yeah, maybe I should single the 5 in that first race, no time alone, but I've got this single in race 9 with Lone Rock, so I'll spread a little bit in the first leg. And I think that's wrong, and I think that's where we'll get more value with Moretti. You look at the finale, Mondeuse, certainly, who you have
it's
on
one of
top,
my favorite horses.
Who I like.
I wouldn't single Mondeuse in the pick. I'd be 4 or 5 deep.
And that's what
in
I
the
am.
Race that I have one of my favorite horses on the card.
But here's another one, too. I think the 4 horses I have.
Yes.
And don't forget now, Anthony showed the trifecta, too. This is another good, you know, something to think about. Anthony showed the trifecta where he's got bombs of Memories Eternal and Saigon in second. That's fine. Hey, run second. I hope they do.
That's immature.
But that's not winning, okay?
No,
and you have to differentiate between a pick 5 where, don't forget, obviously, I'm master of the obvious here, but don't overlook the fact that all we care about is winning. I don't care if Mondeuse beats Saigon by a nose, by an impossible head bob. It doesn't matter. She won, Saigon lost. Right. And in pick 5 purposes, that is all that matters.
And here's a big thing I can point out just as a less than a novice is, Moretti, I think, has a big chance to win the Birdstone. I don't think Saigon, who I picked for second, has a big chance to win that race, which is why I in that regard, I'd be with you. I would only play a spread in the last race because if I got there, I'd want to spread because it would give me options to walk out.
And what he's alluding to is you can always check will pace in the finale, too, and you can work off of that. I have a buddy that's always texting me in our pick 5 group, hedge, hedge, hedge. And sometimes, you know, if you're alive to a big ticket, you can certainly do that. And the beauty of the get out leg and the will pays show you that, and you can maneuver accordingly. Yes, excuse me. I would not have to be hedging at all today if I'm fortunate enough to be alive in race 10, because it's probably at best, this ticket I've got here, I mean, at best, it's probably a $500 pick 5 ticket for 50 cents, so there would be no hedging. But to me, this ticket today, Thursday, August 4th, is a ticket you might be able to hit, August 5th, excuse me, 5 or 6 times, and that's how I will approach it. So, replays, tries, pick 5s, play it out today. It's a beautiful Thursday here.
It's
but
nice.
We're going to sign off, okay? Anthony and I are going to sign off. We'll be back. Well, he's going to be here tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I will not. I'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. But it'll end the live version of Racing Across America. But as I said, Seth Merrow with a tape piece from yesterday. The guys did a great job, Brian and Mick, on this, spinning it back at the Hall of Fame. The new revolutionary, revitalized, torn down, put back up, awesome Hall of Fame. Check this out, and more importantly, get over there and see it in person. You will not be disappointed. Take care. Best of luck today. Enjoy the heck out of Whitney weekend, too.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
I'm talking. best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Racing and Hall of Fame. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Happy to be here in the new museum, and I have talked to a number of people who obviously last year things were a little bit different. Everybody wasn't here, but this year with people being here, they've been to the museum. They are thrilled with the renovation and the brand new 21st century museum. We'll talk specifics in a moment, but just relate to that a little bit. Last year was very different. You were closed for much of the year for the renovation, but now things have started to reopen up. Has the museum seen a nice surge in attendance?
It really has. And something neat is, as 2020 will go down in one of those crazy years of COVID, we opened on Kentucky Derby Day in 2020, which happened to be September 5th. So as ironic as it is, we were supposed to open on opening day of the Saratoga meet last year, but we wound up opening on Kentucky Derby Day.
Very good. And, you know, it was closed, obviously, for much of that part of the year, and the idea was to get the renovations done and kind of bring the museum into the 21st century. Talk a little bit about the impetus for the refurbishment.
Absolutely. So our Hall of Fame is only so big, and it was really running out of space for plaques. Our Hall of Fame is up to 462 inductees. And so with that, the board, John Hendrickson, who was the museum president at the time, he's the president now as well, you know, said, we need to do something. We haven't had a capital campaign since the late 90s, and I think it was early 2000. So we need to refocus on education, the industry, and the Hall of Fame. So what can we do? And as many of you may or may not know, we are one of the few Hall of Fames that inducts active members. So Wayne Lucas's plaque has been a little outdated. So now what we're able to do is create those plaques in a digital format, and they're able to be updated with every milestone.
The Baseball Hall of Fame, for example, has the career stats, but the career's already over. You're right, for horse racing trainers who get inducted into their career and still have much of a career, the plaque would be, as you say, a little bit outdated, but now with the digital age, you can keep right up with the career.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. And give us a little bit of, with moving the museum into the 21st century, the refurbishment of the brand new museum, what are some of the new experiences people can take advantage of?
Well, so we are open year-round, which is unbelievable, and it's great. We want to give people an experience and an education if they've never been to a racetrack. So we were able to redo the complete race day gallery. We have a paddock, a track, and a winner's circle. We feature racetrack surfaces and educate folks on that. We also have 15 active tracks throughout the United States that we talk about. We have memorabilia as well to show. And then we talk about three historic tracks, because history and horses is what we're all about.
Absolutely. That's what Saratoga is all about. One of the favorite things now, favorite new things, is the movie. Talk a little about the new movie experience.
It's pretty spectacular.
This is the story of what it takes.
The title is What It Takes, Journey to the Hall of Fame. And everyone who comes just has goosebumps. It's full of emotion. This industry is a family. It's 365, there's no breaks, there's no holidays, there's no time off. And it really focuses not only around the equine athlete, but the trainers and the jockeys, the exercise riders, the grooms. There's so many individuals that it takes to get less than 1% to the Hall of Fame. And it really is just an effort by so many.
It's their character.
You can buy the breeding that goes back generations upon generation.
He swoops over as much as 28 feet of earth in a single stride.
The horse with a perfect conformation. The horse that has that attitude, that shows that he could be favorably thought of as a thoroughbred racehorse.
I have heard at least three people tell me they teared up when they watched the movie. So it's clearly doing its job and presenting in an emotional way that it deserves. Talk a little bit about some of the other things that are available here this summer and even year-round, but certainly some of these are summertime. I'll mention one of them, the Oklahoma Training Track Tours. Talk a little bit about what some of the other things that people take advantage of here.
Absolutely. So we're very fortunate. NYRA is a wonderful industry partner here for the National Museum of Racing, and they allow us to do daily Oklahoma Training Track Tours. They are 9 o'clock in the morning. It is a 90-minute walking tour of the Oklahoma Training Track. There's a lot of historical facts. Horse Haven is over there, and it was the original track back in 1863. So our docents have a lot of facts to tell people. That is an excellent tour. And then Wednesday through Sunday on race days during the meet, Tom Durkin is here, and he gives an amazing historical tour of the gallery.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Tom Durkin. And Tom, talk a little bit about every racing day. Folks can come over and get a guided tour personally from you.
Yeah. I'm an old storyteller from way back, and there's a lot to tell here at the museum. We got about 400 years worth of history, so we try to get that within an hour. Hard to do sometimes, but it's popular. The folks love coming, and there's a lot to see.
So if people want to take the tour with you, what's the situation?
I'll just call it the museum, we're here every racing day at 11 o'clock. The tour takes about an hour, and then the film's at the end about another 16 minutes. So if you come at 11 o'clock, take the tour, watch the film, and you can walk across the street and bet the double. What a great way.
Perfect. Tom, appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Tom's great, and certainly that's a nice addition to the summertime here as well. Talk a little bit about some of the current exhibits that will wind things up in January, so people who want to make it here. And we're sitting right outside of Women in Racing, and I was looking at some of the old women's badges to get into the track, lady badge to get into the track, some of the photos of the jockeys, the female jockeys that I remember. Nice exhibit here, but talk a little bit about some of the current exhibits.
Thank you. So Women in Racing will be on display through the end of this year, and one of my favorite aspects about this is the timeline. Women have been owners, breeders, jockeys, industry, you know, since 1885. So we've been in it. We're right there. A lot of it is husbands and wives, relationships, family members. So this is a wonderful exhibit. It will be a changing exhibit. So next year we have something pretty spectacular coming. So everybody, what we try to do is, if you come during summer, during Saratoga Racing, when you come back next summer, it's going to be a different museum. So come and see us. We're partnering right now with the Tang Teaching Museum at Skidmore. They're doing an All Together Now promotion with several different museum and educational institutions. And we are focusing on Woybridge in Motion. So artists didn't really know before the camera was developed how horses ran, but they do fly all four legs off the ground. We have steeplechase. Every 4 years in the Hall of Fame, there is a steeplechase category. So we have a new Chasing Summer, an art exhibit in our Von Stotti, as well as an updated steeplechase exhibit. We have a great photo op down in our lower lobby of all old Saratoga signs. One of my favorite things about Saratoga and the race course was the hand-painted signs throughout. And so we are very fortunate to have a lot of those. And then we have a new exhibit that will be permanent in our lobby, which is called Champions of Racing. And it's all the Breeders' Cup races. You can watch everyone back to, I think, 1984. It was the first one. And also the Eclipse Awards are part of that as well.
Very good. And so if you're a racing fan, casual or hardcore, this is the place to come. And obviously it takes money to keep things up and keep the museum running. Talk a little bit about some of the fundraising efforts. You have a 50-50 raffle. If people want to permanently be part of the museum, there are bricks out in the courtyard. How do people get involved?
Oh, absolutely. So I would say that our membership has really grown, and we do a lot. So we have some members across the country who have never been to the museum, but they feel that $65 individual membership gets them, you know, biweekly emails. It gets them a Hall of Fame guide mailed to them, special promotions and invitations and online. We have a brand new website. So membership's great. We do have a 50-50 running through the end of this race season, which is the first time we've done that. So we're looking forward to a big winner on September 7th. And those tickets are only $5 each. The Courtyard Bricks. So in 2017, Mrs. Mary Lou Whitney and her husband, John Hendrickson, named our interior courtyard after Cornelius Vanderbilt Whitney, who was huge and instrumental in the sport. And we started selling two different sizes, a 8x8 gray brick that's $250. It gets you six lines of text, or a 4x8 red brick that gets you three lines of text. When people come here to see their brick, they're in the Hall of Fame.
You're part of the museum.
You're part of, and you can say anything. We have, you know, there's just so many great sayings out there, and you can look around and see family members, see horses. It really is a special way to be a part of this.
Yeah, you got a dad who's a great horse racing fan. That's a great gift for a birthday gift or something like that for the horse racing fan in your family, and you're permanently a member of the museum and the Hall of Fame, so that's something to keep in mind. Hopefully we can add a little money too, because you are one of our charity partners in the Times Union every week, people can check that out, pick up a Times Union every day, and the charity bet's in there. So hopefully we'll raise a little money for you in that way too.
Thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it. We are a nonprofit. We're an educational 501c3 nonprofit institution. So
remind people of hours and
we are open 7 days a week. We are open currently 9 to 5. In the fall and the winter, we do usually change 10 to 4. But we have a brand new website, all sorts of information. You can go online, sign up for events, sign up for tours. And then, of course, you can always just come to the museum and show up as
Very
well.
Good. And I certainly want to remind people, Friday, Hall of Fame, with it being postponed last year. I have to look at my notes here to remind people of the class. But from last year, it was Mark Cassie, Pillars of the Turf, Alice Headley Chandler, J. Keene Dangerfield, and George Widener. This year's class, people obviously familiar with these names, American Pharoah, Todd Pletcher, and Jack Fisher. They will all be inducted on Friday at the Facing Tipton Pavilion. What's the situation on getting in there? Do we know if that is full yet? But if it is full, people can still watch through the museum website.
Absolutely. So basically, the way that the pavilion works is the downstairs is reserved for all the inductees, their family and relations. Upstairs is open to the public, first come, first serve. Doors will open at 9. The ceremony will start at 10:30. We will also be showing it on our website, and NYRA TV will be showing it as well.
Website is racingmuseum.org, racingmuseum.org. So if you can't get up here, you can stream it, and certainly it's going to be worth Mark Cassie and Todd Pledge. Folks familiar with the names American Pharoah. It's going to be a very nice ceremony. It's going to be fun to get back and do it after last year, things being postponed. I think folks are ready to get back and
Absolutely.
Celebrate the Hall of Famers.
Absolutely. So everyone's welcome, and everyone's welcome here to the museum. And we have a really great staff, curator, communications manager. Anybody who has any questions, reach out.
Very good. Kate, appreciate the time. Again, you guys have done a great job. I will tip my cap. I've heard a lot of great things. It was a renovation that brought it into the 21st century and has gotten rave reviews. So I would absolutely tell people to come up. If you're coming to the track, add a little extra time to your trip and swing. It's literally right across the street from the racetrack. But again, congratulations on a really great project, successful project.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We hope to see you all soon.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
won by 3/4 of a length on that occasion. And with the ground now on the yielding side, must have a chance again here tonight, Beleaguer.